Get ready for unique, rare, and little-known treasures from the golden age of radio. You're listening to the amazing world of radio with Adam Graham.
Welcome to the Amazing Women of Radio miniseries. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. Be sure and send any emails to box13@greatdetectives.net. Well, this week we're bringing you an episode of This Is The Story. This Is The Story is a little bit sneaky. You would think, based on the descriptions, that they are broadcasting completely original dramas that were performed for the Armed Forces Radio Service. That's not the case. This particular episode was actually aired as part of DuPont's Cavalcade of America. However, the sound quality of the This Is The Story version is so much better that we're bringing you that one. So, with the original radio broadcast over the Cavalcade of America of October 18th, 1949, here now is Remember Anna Zenger.
This is the story. The United States Armed Forces Radio Service brings you an original radio drama by Morton Wishengrad entitled Anna Zenger and starring Rosalind Russell.
My husband was innocent of any crime, yet he was seized and thrown into prison. I devoted myself to his freedom, and perhaps to the freedom of every citizen in the American colonies. My name is Anna Zenger.
Time, the year 1735. Place, Philadelphia, and the home of Mr. Andrew Hamilton.
Mr. Hamilton, I have traveled by carriage all the way from New York. I must speak to you on a matter of urgency.
Oh, my dear madam, I fear you're in error. I'm a barrister, not a physician.
Yes, yes, I know.
Moreover, I'm past 80 years of age, rendered infirm by gout, plagued by my relations, and...
Oh, please, Mr. Hamilton, there is a man in prison in New York.
I shouldn't be surprised.
He is innocent of any crime, sir.
No doubt, if you say so.
The name of the man is John Peter Zenger. My husband, sir.
His crime, madam?
He is accused of libel and slander. He is publisher of the New York Weekly Journal. His offense was that he printed the truth about a scoundrel.
And the name of the scoundrel?
His Majesty's Governor of New York Province, Colonel William Cosby.
Well, your husband is either an extraordinary fool or a very brave man.
But he printed no slander. He printed no libel. Every word against the governor was a true word. The governor of New York colony is corrupt and arrogant. Oh, it is truth and not sedition to say so.
Here, you're fatigued, Mrs. Zenger. Pray be seated.
Mr. Hamilton, I must say this to you. My husband could obtain his freedom tomorrow.
Yes?
He has only to name the author of the attack on His Excellency the Governor.
Well?
John printed the words. He did not write them. I wrote them.
Well, you go on.
John has been silent and in prison for 8 months. He protects me. If there is a criminal, Mr. Hamilton, I am that criminal.
Mrs. Zenger, there are capable lawyers in New York.
Sir, I implore you. In all the American colonies, there is no lawyer with greater reputation than Andrew Hamilton of Philadelphia. I implore you. Come to New York.
I shall require all the facts.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton.
Now, please begin. I shall not interrupt you.
When I married John Zenger, my family was greatly disappointed. He was immensely tall and immensely strong, and my family conceded that he was a handsome man. But we were early settlers, and John Zenger was an immigrant from Germany. Moreover, he was employed by Mr. Bradford, the printer, whereupon they accounted him no gentleman.
Anna, what do you see in me?
You.
There is too much difference between us.
Well, I'm told that difference is customary. You are a man, I am a woman. That's usually so.
I'm not clever, Anna. Don't joke with me.
I love you, John.
Tell me why. Look at my hands. Look at my clumsy feet. Listen to my voice. It is a voice fit to grate a vegetable.
Still, it will serve to propose a marriage.
When I was a boy in Germany, I used to dream of someone like you. If you will stay here, I will go inside and speak with your father.
We were married, and at the urging of... Well, my urging, John set up his own modest print shop. Those were good days. We prospered, our children were born, we were content. And then His Majesty appointed a new governor. We became aware of the change the day Judge Morris came to the print shop.
How soon will it be printed?
In 2 days, Judge Morris.
You do fine work, John.
Thank you, Judge. I will send it to your chambers in the courthouse.
Send it by wagon to my residence in Westchester.
But the courthouse is only a short distance.
I am no longer a judge.
Oh, have you resigned, sir?
I have been removed.
By whom?
By His Excellency, Governor Crosby.
Judge Morris, I'm afraid we don't understand.
It's quite simple. A point of law came before me. I delivered an opinion which was not pleasing to the governor. I was removed from office.
Oh. Well, who knows about it, sir?
The governor and I, and now you.
Perhaps all the citizens of New York should know.
What would you have them know?
That henceforth judges are to be intimidated.
And how would you tell them?
Well, by printing the information in handbills.
My dear Anna, you have a husband. You have a family. With this governor, independence of spirit is a liability. Good afternoon to you both.
Morning, friend. I said good morning.
John Zenger, printer. 10 shillings and sixpence, please.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
I'm the new tax collector. 10 shillings and sixpence.
Well, there is some mistake. Anna!
What is it?
The tax collector's here.
I paid it last week. 5 shillings.
You see, there has been some error.
No error. This is a new tax.
The assembly has passed a new tax?
This is the new tax decreed by the governor.
Why was it not announced by the town crier?
I announce it. 10 shillings and sixpence.
That will be the second levy in 1 month.
Oh, haven't you heard, John? The governor is a poor man.
I am on King's business. I admonish you to guard your tongue.
This is my shop. Get out.
John.
Get out before I carry
John,
you out.
John, let me talk to him, please.
There is nothing more to say. John Zenger, you have delivered a threat against the King's messenger. It will be noted.
Don't look, Anna. It is not for a woman. Keep your eyes down, Anna.
Tell me what is happening.
Can't you guess?
Yes. We are governed by William Cosby. I can guess. How many are there?
3. One in the pillory. The other poor devil tied to the whipping post.
And the third? John, you said there were 3. My eyes are closed. But I will tell you. The pillory, the whipping post, and also the hangman's yard, with the noose and the rope ready and adjusted for service.
Why do I stand here, Anna? I am strong. I have fists. I can use them.
Wait a minute, John. What will that accomplish?
There are only 2 soldiers. I can use my hands against
them. The sheriff will send 2 more men. He will send 10 men, 50 men. John, there are better ways of dealing with the governor.
Yes, sabers and pistols.
Words are better. They cut deeper. Words that can be printed. Words that can be read by every citizen of New York City. John, you are a printer. Print what the people have the right to know.
But, Anna, I have no skill with words.
I could write the words. And you could print them. Don't you see, John? We can do it together. We can have a newspaper. We called our newspaper the New York Weekly Journal. And, Mr. Hamilton, for the sake of our children, it was understood that no one was to know that Anna Zenger was other than a housewife and a mother. My housewifely duties became exceedingly strange.
May I look over your shoulder while you work?
If you wish.
Why is there no accounting to the people by the governor as to how tax monies are spent?
Why is it permitted by the freeholders of New York province that the governor convene the assembly at his pleasure and dissolve the assembly at his pleasure?
Anna.
Come. Set up the type, John. I will help you lock it in the press.
Anna.
Yes?
You make me ashamed for myself.
Why?
I am a lump. Two fists like hands, and no mind, and no culture.
Governor Cosby has culture. He puts it on like a coat and wears it at public executions. No coat of culture on your back, perhaps. Nothing to get threadbare. But, John, the things that are yours are things inside. They don't wear out.
Anna, we play with fire, you and I. Whatever happens, you must know that I love you.
This, I take it, is the Zenger print shop.
How do you do?
I do exceedingly well, madam.
My husband will return in a moment.
Then let us not hasten the moment. You're quite charming when you blush.
Who are you?
An admirer.
What do you wish here, sir?
Your husband is the most fortunate of men. It would be a pity if he ceased to be a man.
You speak in riddles.
A man in prison is buried. Ergo, he is no longer a man.
You come from the governor.
I do, madam. My dear Mrs. Zenger, I come to warn your husband that several matters taken up in the columns of his newspaper are in poor taste.
That it must be the truth is in poor taste?
Yes, madam.
I am quite sure that my husband will freely open his columns to you or to the governor for reply or rebuttal. Oh,
very friendly of you. But we shall not engage in controversy. Nor will you. Nor will your husband.
I thank you for speaking more plainly.
I shall hasten to the governor's mansion and report that certain indiscretions will not recur in the future. My compliments, Mrs. Zenger.
That you, John?
Have you finished yet?
Nearly.
I have spoken with Morris. He promises that if there is trouble, he will defend me.
Will he defend me, too?
There will be no need of that, Anna. Your name will appear nowhere in the journal. You're a wife and a mother. You have nothing to do with the New York Weekly Journal.
Then perhaps you should hear what I have written. Listen. Under the administration of Governor Cosby, we see men's deeds destroyed. Judges arbitrarily displaced. Trials by juries taken away. Who is there in the province that can call anything his own or enjoy any liberties save those permitted by the administration? John, I have signed my name to it. Anna Zenger.
Anna, you cannot...
We are husband and wife. I shall not allow you to be punished for what I write.
We struck a bargain. You may not break it.
There is no longer a matter of you or me. There is nothing personal in this. Now it is larger than us.
A bargain is a bargain. Scratch your name out.
It was a bad bargain.
You will not jeopardize yourself. If you do not scratch your name out, I set no type. The journal will not be printed.
John!
Scratch your name out. Just now, you said this was larger than us. It was just talk, then? Scratch your name out, or there is no publication. I mean what I say. I will melt the type. Scratch your name out. Thank you. If they arrest me, Morris will be able to find someone to set type. But if they put you in prison, Anna, the journal would die. I think I would die also.
My dear Harrison, have you read this issue of the Weekly Journal?
Unfortunately, I have, Your Excellency.
Of course, you realize you've been a bungling fool. You told me these attacks against me would cease.
Well, I had every reason, sir, to believe...
You gave me your assurance.
Well, it was my impression that... What can I say, Your Excellency?
Nothing. Therefore, have the grace to be still. Bradley!
Coming, sir. You call, Governor.
What did you think I did? Where is the indictment?
Your Excellency, a grand jury indicts. That is English law.
We shall assist the grand jury. I have been aspersed. My administration has been vilified. Seditious libels have been spread abroad concerning me. Harrison, the journal must cease publication.
I understand fully, Your Excellency.
Make sure you don't botch it again. Now get out. Both of you.
In Philadelphia, a desperate Anna Zenger relates to Andrew Hamilton the events which brought about the imprisonment of John Peter Zenger.
It came, Mr. Hamilton. It was inevitable. We thought we were safe, for John was well known now. The Weekly Journal was eagerly read, not only in New York province, but everywhere. It gave us a sense of security that was false. Nearly 9 months ago, on a peaceful Sabbath day, they seized him and threw him into jail.
This court is acting illegally in refusing the right of trial to John Peter Zenger. What you have done is abhorrent to the spirit of the English common law.
Are you finished, Counselor?
I am, Your Honor.
I am not, Your Honor.
Resume your place, madam.
I wish to be heard. Why does this court refuse to issue a writ of habeas corpus?
Madam.
I have a right to speak. The issue is law.
Madam.
The issue is the right of free men to speak freely, to assemble freely, to publish their writings freely.
Madam.
The issue is the right of the people to read the truth, not Governor Cosby's truth. Madam. God's truth that men are free men and sacred in God's eyes.
This court chooses to ignore your intemperate outburst, madam. You are a woman. You cannot know better, being unaccustomed to our usages. But you, counselor, you do know better. Therefore, it is the judgment of this court that you be disbarred from the practice of law.
You have 10 minutes with the prisoner, no more.
John?
Anna, is that you?
Yes, John. They lack even the ordinary humanity to unlock a prison door for 10 minutes.
No matter. If you will reach your hand through the small opening, I can touch you.
Oh, how thin your hands have become.
Never mind now. This is good.
We are fighting for you every moment.
I know, I know.
The journal comes out each week. The governor is mystified. That's amusing, isn't it? John, I said it was amusing.
Anna, who are we to challenge a word?
Oh, don't talk like that, darling. We can't go back now.
I have spent 8 months in the cell. It is my coffin.
No.
4 feet by 8 feet. I step 2 paces lengthwise, 1 pace sidewise, 2 lengthwise, 1 sidewise, 2 lengthwise.
The people are proud of you, John. The Weekly Journal is now being read from Boston to Charleston. Newspapers throughout the colonies reproduce our story of your imprisonment. Oh, there is a great lawyer in Philadelphia. The governor cannot, well, he cannot delay the trial any longer, not beyond next month. Andrew Hamilton will defend you.
It is hopeless. You waste your time.
Nothing is hopeless except death. I am going to Philadelphia. And so, Mr. Hamilton, you have become John Zenger's last hope and my last hope. Governor Cosby and his judges will not dare to do to you, to Andrew Hamilton, what they have dared against others. I know that you are entitled to spend your final days in peace. But forgive me, sir. I had no one else to come to.
Don't mention it again, my dear. For the first time on this new continent, there's been created a large issue. The freedom of the press. It will lead to larger issues. I'm not too old to say a word about that. Come, madam. We leave for New York.
You may resume, Mr. Hamilton.
Thank you. I call Anna Zenger once again. Put your hand down, my dear. You've already taken the oath once. Anna Zenger, I show you a copy of the New York Weekly Journal. Do you recognize it?
I do.
There's a section marked on the first page. Will you tell the jury who put that mark there?
I did.
For what purpose, madam?
Because I believe that these words are the essence of the defense.
You may read, Anna Zenger.
It is charged that John Peter Zenger has committed false, scandalous, and seditious libels against Governor William Cosby. We assert that if you can prove that what a man prints is true, no libel is committed.
Mr. Hamilton, the witness is a witness, not defense counsel addressing the jury.
I am reading from the Weekly Journal, Your Honor.
Do not address this court, madam.
I address the jury, Your Honor.
Madam.
I say to them that the mere printing and publishing of statements in a newspaper is not a crime.
Madam, that is enough.
Not nearly enough, Your Honor. It is falsehood which makes libel and scandal, not truth.
Mr. Hamilton, correct your witness.
Not at all, Your Honor. I thought the lady acquitted herself rather well.
Mr. Hamilton, I warn you.
I no longer address the court. The case is clear. I address you, members of the jury. The issue is freedom of the press. Granted, by your verdict and all other freedoms will flow from it. You are 12 honest and lawful men. In you lies our safety. Our safety against governors who injure and provoke the people to cry out and complain, and then make that very complaint the foundation for new oppressions and prosecutions. Gentlemen of the jury, in your hands is the guarantee of our liberty.
Is the jury ready?
We are, Your Honor.
John Zenger.
Yes, Your Honor.
You will stand and face the jury.
Yes, Your Honor.
Gentlemen of the jury, are you agreed upon a verdict?
We are agreed.
Do you agree that John Peter Zenger is guilty of printing and publishing the libels as charged?
We have agreed that John Peter Zenger is not guilty.
Speech! 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 Speech!
Zenger, my warmest congratulations. This is your day.
My day. Mr. Hamilton, I would still be in prison. But for you.
And I, too.
You, Anna?
Mr. Hamilton, when John was seized, I thought that only John Peter Zenger was in prison. I was wrong. We were all imprisoned. And now that you have freed him, you have freed us all. You have reminded the court that the Bible on which I took my oath declares, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and unto all the inhabitants thereof.
thank you, Rosalind Russell, for a wonderful performance. You've just heard an original radio drama by Morton Wishengrad, suggested by the novelized biography Anna Zenger by Kent Cooper. This program was another in the series This is the Story, and came to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
Welcome back. It's an amazing story, although some of it may have been historical fiction. Many scholars will dispute Anna having written the articles with James, one of Peter Zenger's original attorneys, being thought the most probable source. Others think Anna Zenger began to write articles while her husband was in prison. What is true beyond dispute is that Anna Zenger kept the press going and the paper printing during her husband's imprisonment. And without that, Governor Cosby's ends would have been accomplished as Peter Zenger would have been ruined. Anna Zenger would also run the press for 2 years after her husband's death before handing it over to her stepson and moving to a rural area to open a bookstore. The Zenger story received a lot of attention in those post-war years into the early 1950s, and the role that Anna played in it received a great amount of attention. It was a time when, after seeing a free nation fall into tyranny, people were interested in the preservation of liberty and the history of those liberties. Anna's line that we were all in prison really struck a chord, because Governor Cosby's ultimate aim wasn't just to silence Peter Zenger and his press, but to make it so anyone would be afraid to challenge him. In essence, people were walking around without chains, but imprisoned by fear. And this case, even though it was decades before the revolution, really became a very key part of America's history and culture of freedom of the press. And that freedom is something to be thankful for, not only to Andrew Hamilton, but also Anna Zenger. Now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And I want to go ahead and thank Jesse. Jesse has been one of our Patreon supporters since March 2016, currently supporting the podcast at the rookie level of $2 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Jesse. And that will do it for today. We will be back next Wednesday with another episode of Gallant American Women. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.